Hysteria is brought to you by ZBiotics. I'd love to tell you I'm one of those women who could have 3 glasses of wine and still wake up glowing, but I'm not. Somewhere in my early 30s, the morning after a few drinks started to hit different. That's why I started drinking ZBiotics pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. Alyssa, did you know that?
I did know that, only because of ZBiotics.
It's buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down.
Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. So I first gave pre-alcohol a try. Caroline made me try it because she wanted to have a couple glasses of wine. And, you know, I can't. I'm a woman of a certain age. Erin, I'm 50, okay? Mm. One glass of wine is one thing. 1.5 glasses, ZBiotic.
Between weddings, the U.S. Open. Are you drinking for the U.S. Open? Are you just going nuts? I didn't realize. You know what? I'm not like a tennis person.
No,
and
me
so
neither.
I didn't realize it was like a time to like barf on the tennis whites.
Yeah, they have like these special cocktails, the melon balls or whatever they are.
What?
They're like a very big deal. Yeah, they're like a real to-do.
Interesting. Okay. Well, between weddings, the U.S. Open, and the first real lake weekend of the year, June barely leaves a Saturday open. Don't let a rough morning after cost you Sunday. Drink pre-alcohol to stay ahead of it and make the most of every weekend this month. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/hysteria and use code hysteria at checkout for 15% off.
Hey, Crooked listeners. If you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, new title for Marco Rubio's unauthorized biography just dropped.
Really?
Yeah, let's listen to this excerpt from the Secretary of State's appearance before a congressional committee Wednesday to hear the title.
Lisa, I have one last question for you. Mr. Secretary, who won the 2020 presidential election?
I'm not here to answer the question. We told you about 2020. This is a foreign affairs committee.
Okay, great. You can't answer the question,
even
though we all know that President Biden won.
I don't answer the question because the Secretary of State, I do not participate in domestic political issues.
This is not about domestic political issues.
Oh, certainly
is. This is about our democracy.
You're asking me to opine, just like I don't do campaign
rallies. It seems like
you... I don't do, because as Secretary of State, we're not supposed to. That's been the long tradition of the department. And you should know that if you've been on this committee for any period of time.
Mr. Secretary, it seems like you have an issue admitting facts. You can't say that the president lost the 2020 election, just like you won't admit President Trump is losing this reckless war of choice, and just like you couldn't admit that the shoes the president bought you were too big. You clearly don't know what winning means, and not because the facts are unclear to you, it's because telling your the truth would cost you your job, and the American people are entitled to a Secretary of State who tells them the truth even when the president doesn't want to hear it, and my constituents, our service members, deserve better. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
I don't know what shoes she's talking about. What is she talking about?
Representative Burchett, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The Florsheims fit fine.
Florsheims fit fine. You know, a good follow-up to her would have been, well, wait, so you don't campaign. How do you feel about Pete Hegseth going down to Tennessee? Kentucky,
yeah.
Just saying.
She had that line in her pocket, but it was well-delivered.
It was. She was ready for it, but she made him big mad.
Today we get into the results from the California primary, at least what we know so far. We round up Trump's latest slew of flops and discuss why we're tired of men with checkered pasts running for office like nobody's gonna find out.
Whoa.
Then Alyssa sits down with actress Sapita Mowafi about her role in The Pit, her childhood as an Iranian refugee, and her latest role in the play Newborn. Then, of course, Sani Petty. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is confused but not surprised about the news of Ivanka Trump's private Mediterranean island.
I mean, what on earth?
On a podcast appearance with one of those podcasts that I'm like, I think this is just for bots.
Yeah. I totally what you're talking about.
She kind of sat in, she's always shot like.
I thought she looked AI.
She's shot, you know, like those wedding photographers that just go way, way too light with the contrast.
Totally.
Where everything just looks washed out. Or like Lucille Bluth when she had Job make her a driver's license picture that made her look young. Right. She's just totally like washed out and robotic and kind of sits there looking sad. And she's talking about some private island where they're going to build a fabulous resort that they just found in the Mediterranean when they were boating.
Randomly. Just found.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if it's related to protests that are happening currently in Armenia, because apparently Jared Kushner wants to develop some undisturbed wetlands, like some of the last undisturbed wetlands in the Mediterranean into a luxury resort.
He's such a villain.
But you know what? I live close to Glendale, California, which is it's like the U.S. capital of Armenia. Like there's so many.
Oh, sure.
I live around so many Armenians, and I'm like encountering Armenian culture all the time. Like there's districts where all the signs are in Armenian, you know.
Right.
And one thing I would not do is piss off Armenians. It's like that's the number one rule.
Aren't the Kardashians Armenian?
They are, yes, yeah. Yes. They are Armenian. They moved to Calabasas, which is not. I mean, Glendale is like just full on Armenian. And yeah,
it's Armenia.
I would not make, and there's a real little Armenia in LA proper too. So it's,
there's,
but yeah, I would not make them, I would not do that. Jared, that's a do not do. Don't do it.
Jared, you have your hands in so many other things. Just say no.
Yeah. This is not going to go well for you. I'm just going to say that. Like, I don't interrupt your enemy while they're making a mistake, but like, come on, guy. This is silly what
also,
you're doing.
Talk about making a mistake. It's like the Epstein stuff quiets down for a minute and Ivanka's like, we're buying an island.
We're going to get an island. Private island.
No. Like,
No bad connotations with island. What a relatable story, too. Like,
we're just buying an island.
We were on one of our friends' yachts, you know, like.
And we saw land, and we were like, must have.
We swam to it, and we're like, now let's make it into an island. It's just, wow. Of all the people who have been tone deaf, she's been the most tone deaf.
Top tier.
I do think it's funny that she's still kind of caught in, like, girl boss landia. Like she.
Yeah, she didn't get the memo.
She hit 2015 and she's like, I'm just going to stay here forever. It's 2015 forever. I'm like, girl.
It's perfect.
I can girl boss my way out of this. And everyone's like, shut up. Anyway, it's fun to witness. Fun to witness. All right, let's get to results.
Big day in California.
Very preliminary. God, Alyssa, they make it super easy to vote in California, which is great.
But it takes forever.
I'm a California voter, and I do appreciate – they just mail you your ballot. And then also, like, I get incessant texts. They're like, hey, you haven't returned your ballot. Hey, you haven't returned your ballot. You haven't returned your ballot. And I always meant to go vote in person because I like to take my kids with me to vote and, like, make a big deal out of it. And also, the poll workers are always super excited that their
they're
kids
so excited. And I love the sticker.
Yeah, I love the sticker. And the kids love the stickers. And it gives me an excuse to get them out of the house so my husband can get some work done. So I took them to vote yesterday. And can I just say—
Lovely.
Well, the voting experience was great, but— There is a film shoot that has been ongoing in my neighborhood for months and months and months. And my neighborhood is very pretty. And there is like, whatever, this area.
Is it a trilogy? What's taking so long?
It's one thing or another. Like there's a college campus that is in my neighborhood that has been used for so many films. It was like the exteriors in Clueless. The school exteriors in Clueless were shot there. There's like a ton of stuff that's filmed there because it's used as like a generic college in a lot of places. But like on the walk to my polling place, I had to go around this shoot. They were doing an active film shoot on election day.
Really?
I was like, come on, guys.
That's so dumb.
It should not be okay to have a permitted film shoot. I mean, I know this is like a very hyper-local like thing, but I was just like annoyed that I had to schlep all the way around them with my double stroller. I was just like, guys. But I did vote.
Okay.
I successfully turned in my husband's ballot, and then I did my own in person. The results are coming in. They're going to be coming in over the next several days. But as of Wednesday morning, according to the New York Times, the open primary for California governor, with about 58% of the votes counted, has Republican Steve Hilton leading Javier Becerra by 2 points, 28 to 25%-ish, 3 points. With Tom Steyer not far behind, there are like 60 candidates on the ballot.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It was so long. I had to scroll down a lot. No,
I had to keep clicking see all candidates, mm-hmm. and you get to the bottom and it's like click to see more, and I'm like, oh my god, it's still going.
Yeah, it was so many candidates, and suffice to say, I didn't vote for Steve Hilton. he's like this Republican that has sort of a villain accent. He used to be
British.
He used to be on Fox News, and a Republican is probably not going to win a statewide election in the state of California. But what's annoying is that the fact that there's probably going to be one on the ballot in November means that mm-hmm. Republicans in places where Democrats were hoping to flip seats will now have more of a reason to go vote. Mm-hmm. And so the race is going to be more expensive. It's going to be more annoying, I think. It's going to be more annoying for everybody. It's going to be riskier for Democrats. It's going to just require more money, more manpower, more effort. And it's just like, oh, God. Eric Swalwell still got over 18,000 votes.
Gross.
Yeah, fucking gross.
I mean, yeah. I didn't even know what to say when I saw that. I was like, 1,000, I would have been like, someone sent their ballot in way, way too early.
Yeah, right. That's why this is something that people should know, and that I've heard other people kind of breaking down the California results say, but Republicans tend to vote earlier in California, so Republican votes, it like has a red, it's a blue shift. Mm-hmm. So they tend to get results from Republican cast ballots before the like stragglers come in, like Democrats. Right. And this time especially, Democrats waited until the end because Democrats didn't really know who to vote for because the field was so crowded. Becerra kind of emerged the front runner at the very, very last minute, but there were still people holding out for Steyer because his policies are a little bit more progressive on their face. And so, I mean, this is just all kind of in flux. In the LA mayoral race, with about 63% of votes counted, Karen Bass is going to cruise through to the general. Spencer Pratt's in second place, which means he probably will. I mean, we don't know, but it looks as though he'll come through.
We don't know. I think there were about 200,000 votes left to be counted. And they're separated by about 40,000. So it's conceivable if the Democratic votes come in late that Nithia could surpass him. But,
I don't know.
He got a lot of votes.
I just remember being so annoyed with him when he was on the Hills and when he was like in the tabloids. I didn't even really watch the Hills that much. I was familiar with him by osmosis because we were all forced to know who he was during the height of the Perez Hilton early aughts celebrity palooza, where there was sort of a backlash to paparazzi actually following around the real stars. And so instead, they started glomming on to these fake stars who were willing to make themselves available to paparazzi. And so, you know, we had people like Spencer Pratt and Heidi, his plus
Heidi
one.
Heidi
Montag, plus one. doing these really ridiculous stage paparazzi things. And I just remember even then being like, shut the fuck up. I hate you two. And I did feel sorry for them and find him charming in the aftermath of the fires where he lost his home.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
I thought it was, he seemed like he was making the best out of a bad situation. And I appreciated that he was bringing attention to the fires. But now that goodwill has evaporated because it's like, oh yeah, this guy's awful. He's awful. Like, he's awful. And now in Los Angeles, poor Angelenos are going to have to deal with another six months of his signs, like haunting our major thoroughfares.
His videos.
There's one that I pass every day on the way to work that is like, if dogs could vote, they'd vote for Spencer Pratt. And it's like this very idealized AI 40-year-old virgin. You know the like art on the poster of the 40-year-old virgin?
Yes.
Like the the like idealized 19. It's that, but Spencer Pratt surrounded by dogs. And it's like, this doesn't even make sense. Why? Why would they vote for you?
I mean, why would they vote for him? But I do think, you know, in terms of like Karen Bass, at least going into the general, there's some lessons to be learned. You know, I think telling people everything is fine and problems have been fixed is not necessarily how people are feeling. So like a little pivot to her message of being like, instead of being like, look what we did, being like, look what we did, but we have much more to do. You know what I mean? That's what I would do.
Karen Bass is a friend of the show. We've interviewed her a few times. I've also talked about how I think mayor of Los Angeles is the worst job in America. It absolutely sucks.
Totally.
You take all the blame for things that you can only sort of fix and that are only also sort of your responsibility because the county board of supervisors is so powerful. The city council is so powerful. And I think a lot of people who live here don't even really know how all of that works. So I don't envy Mayor Bass, and I'm glad that she is going on to the general. I wish it was her and Nithya Raman, because then I think we would have an actual interesting race instead of like an annoying one where it's just like, oh God, now we got to do more Spencer Pratt produced AI. I know that he was having like, I passed a bunch of signs on my way to work today that said, vote for Nithya Raman, keep LA shitty. And there were like just posters all over. It was just like,
that's so tacky.
It was, I mean, he's a tacky person.
He's a tacky person,
but do not underestimate the tacky contingent.
Clearly do not estimate
in Los Angeles County. And I'm an apologist for this wonderful city. It is a city combined of many, many different cities that are fighting each other. And I kind of love it. But you know, don't underestimate the fact that there is a tacky contingent and there is a big contingent of dumbasses, just as there are in New York City, which is why you guys kept electing dumbass mayors until this one.
I mean, look, you learn your lesson.
All right. Some news out of Iowa.
This was fun.
This is fun. A Trump-endorsed Republican candidate lost in his bid to seek the nomination for GOP for governor.
Yes.
So that's exciting. I guess Iowans are pretty mad right now.
Iowans are mad. Life's not good.
Yeah, life is not good. They voted for Trump overwhelmingly, and his approval rating is still pretty high in the state. I mean, compared to how it is nationally.
Right, for sure.
But it's like it's like about 50-50. And that's not good for a state that you won.
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, it just also goes to show what a fucking pussy Trump is. Because all of these endorsements he's made haven't been because he believed in people or has loyalty. He didn't endorse Ken Paxton a couple weeks ago because he is loyal to Ken Paxton. He endorsed him because it looked like he was going to win. Mm-hmm. And he thought that this representative, Randy Finestra, however you say his name, that he was going to win. And then he didn't. So it's not like he even lets his endorsement, if he really wanted someone to win and we're going to put some skin in the game, he would have done it weeks ago.
That's really interesting because I've seen a lot of coverage say that, oh, Trump has been batting almost 1,000 this election cycle.
Fuck that.
But when you
look
at
that, he's like reading Polymarket.
Right, right, exactly. And in previous election cycles, he kind of didn't have that great of a record. In certain races, him throwing his weight behind candidates mattered, and in others, it didn't. And in some, it seemed like it actually had the opposite effect of what the candidate would want, where it's like the candidate's like, oh, my God, why are you getting involved?
Please don't.
I'm trying appeal to people that are like not big Trump fans. So I think it would be interesting to take a look at all of his endorsements and the timing of them and what Polymarket was saying or Kalshi was saying on the day that he issued his endorsement, because it does seem like a guy who is known to cheat at golf would also try to cheat and make himself seem like he was a better
cheating at endorsements.
Yeah, like a better like election Svengali than he actually is. Good news out of New Mexico.
Yeah.
Former Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland won the Democratic primary for governor easily.
Love it.
Her very anti-establishment campaign was run by the father of Chicago Cubs third baseman Alex Bregman.
You're welcome for that fun fact.
That is a great fun. That is a fun fact.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun. Maybe she could throw out the first pitch for the Albuquerque Isotopes, which is a
Albuquerque Isotopes. What a great name.
Yes, it is a minor league team. Also, finally, because she's won the primary and she's through to the general, that means that I can dust off my Deb Haaland sweatshirt that just has a big her face. Have you seen me wear it before?
No.
It's just
I just know
giant,
you got it.
It's Deb Haaland's face. I gave to a congressional campaign of hers, and I ordered a sweatshirt because I was like, this is awesome. It's just Deb Holland. It's like a big stylized portrait of Deb Holland.
Right.
I'll wear it. So now the primary's done, I can wear it without it seeming like
that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. We're big fans of Deb Holland. Deb Holland, come on Hysteria.
Come back. Oh, was she ever on?
No, she's never been on
Hysteria. No, not a secretary.
But I know that she and our friend Peggy Flanagan, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, I know that they're on a group chat with Representative Davids.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because they're all like indigenous. They all have indigenous roots. So anyway, this is a lot of – there's some, you know, mixed results in California. TBD. I'm not worried about anything. I'm just a little bit annoyed.
No.
Oh, you know what else I want to talk about? This is a little bit of an audible, but we were talking about it before we got on the pod this morning. This 60 Minutes stuff.
What a wreck.
What a wreck.
What a way to drive a bulldozer through one of the most prestigious, beloved properties on television.
Yeah. So in case you haven't been following, in which case I feel bad for you because this is one of the best. It's a delicious news story because Scott Pelley is out there.
I love him.
He's out there like Howard Beale in Network, except he's not insane. He's like the one that's like, I'm mad as hell.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes. Network, by the way, perfect film if you haven't seen it.
It is perfect.
It's a perfect film. Okay. So this all started when Barry Weiss took over CBS News, had no business doing so whatsoever, is a tedious dork, as we've covered in our This Fucking Guy episode of her, which you can watch on YouTube and listen to on your RSS feed if you prefer the ears version. So she took over CBS News and immediately started kind of taking a hacksaw to a wedding cake. You know, she just she doesn't know what she's doing. She acts like she knows what she's doing, and it seems like
if her intention is to destroy beloved things, then she knows what she's doing.
But I was about to say something really mean.
What?
I think that if you want someone to destroy it, you could get someone that at least has a little bit more on-screen charisma.
Riz?
Yeah. hiring Joe Rogan as head of CBS News, it would have accomplished the same thing. He would have destroyed it.
Right.
But God, it would have been funny. It would have, instead of being...
I agree with that.
Like hiring Joe Rogan, hiring Candace Owens, Candace Owens... No, David Ellison would never have hired Candace Owens.
No, that's a bridge too far.
A bridge too far. And I think she's in Russia right now. She's in Russia. She's been posting and posting and posting.
Good for her.
She cannot believe how clean it is.
Oh, really? Candace,
she can't
you're
believe
loving
that,
Russia.
She can't believe that Moscow is beautiful. At work, I sit next to a senior producer who was born in, it was the USSR. She was born there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it's so funny when far-right people go over to Russia, like when Tucker Carlson was there and was like, my stars. It's like, yes, this country with a lot of history has beautiful parts in it. Like, why are you surprised? Anyway.
There's no garbage around the Kremlin, Erin.
And the Kremlin is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I hope to see it in person one day when I don't need to go in and like leave my electronics before I leave the country. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to visit Russia
one day. But you know what's funny about Candace? A little sidebar. I have been to Russia one or two times. The first time I remember, I was leaving the hotel with my friend Reggie Love, who is a very tall man of color. And the Secret Service agent pulls me aside and is like, where do you two think you're going? And we're like, oh, we're going to take a walk around Red Square. And they're like, no, you don't. And we're like, what do you mean? And they pulled me aside to be like, oh, no. Like, they don't like black people here. Reggie can't leave. So, Candace, girl, I hope you're being careful in your new adopted homeland.
Yeah.
Because, like, last I recall, diversity and acceptance is not top 10
over there. If she wore a shirt that says, I hate black people too, maybe they would be nicer to her. But I don't – in Cyrillic. In Russia.
Right.
okay, there are more entertaining people to hire who could have taken a hacksaw to CBS News. But they hired Barry Weiss, and then Barry Weiss turned around and hired some guy who had delighted her wife at a dinner party one time, which is, I think, literally why Nick Bilton got hired.
No.
Nick Bilton is like a magazine writer who I've heard from people who have worked with him is a tedious cunt.
Oh.
this tedious cunt with no TV experience was hired to be in
charge.
Which
is the crate. No TV experience.
No TV experience, hired to run 60 Minutes. If he were like some veteran Fox News producer, it would be
then
like,
fine.
The show will continue to be a functional program because this person knows how to do television. Even though they do television in a way that I don't like, they still know what they're doing. Nick Bilton, no, none of the above. So he gets brought in his first meeting, Scott Pelley does his Howard Beale act where he's like, just reads him the riot act. Like he's, you know, he's Scott Pelley. He's got a thunderous voice. He's got, he has been selected for his job for his gravitas. He is all gravitas.
When I met Scott Pelley, I was in the green room at CBS this morning and I said, can you just talk to me? He was like, sure. And I was like, no, we can take a picture, but can you just talk to me? I mean, he's so great.
That's so funny. I know I have a female friend who Scott Pelley is her hear me out.
Get it.
Yeah. I don't even think that's that hard of a, that's not that far of a stretch. That's not that much of a hear me out. But right. Scott Pelley, you know, stands up in this meeting and demands to know the reasoning behind why some of his colleagues had been fired recently, what was wrong
all
with
women.
Them. All women, yes, which is something that Barry has been doing at CBS. She's been firing a suspicious number of women because she's not like the other girls. That's my impression of, I think Barry mm-hmm. Weiss is one of those people that's like, ugh, girls are so much drama, but it's like, lady, you're a girl. Anyway, so then he stands up. He demands to know why these people have been fired. One of Barry Weiss's goons, whose name escapes me at the moment, who isn't Nick Bilton, was like, you're being so rude. And Pelley was like, no, you're being rude by firing these people. And then anyways.
Then people applauded him.
People applauded him. Everybody clapped in a real way. The audio was leaked to Oliver Darcy, who is a media reporter at Status. And then after that, Pelley was fired. And Nick Bilton, did you see the email that he sent or the,
no.
the letter he sent? It's so.
Oh, was it the one? Oh, it, the letter was to the effect of,
you ruined
we tried
my
our
meeting.
Best.
You ruined my meeting.
You ruined my meeting. And I tried to talk to you and you wouldn't talk to me. And we're at an impasse and you're fired.
Yeah. And now there's only, I think, three correspondents left or three at 60 Minutes. So I don't know.
Like who?
there's only three. I mean, it's really like at the end of America's Next Top Model when right. one of the pictures like disappears. It's like that. I don't know how they're going to have a show. But anyway, 60 Minutes is now a skeleton. And let's see if it can dance.
I have my doubts.
Yeah. What do you think Scott Pelley's going to do next?
Oh, my God. I hope it's his own YouTube show. Like, it's like when Anthony Mason left CBS and now he's got this like killer music show on YouTube. And it's like, yes, Anthony Mason, live your best life. So, I mean, Scott Pelley, I also would be like, if I'm NBC, I would snap Scott Pelley up in like 2 seconds, have him do the nightly news.
Or like I mean, MS Now. They're doing some shuffling.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. But I just feel like I want to listen to Scott Pelley tell me when good things are happening, when bad things are happening, I want him to look sternly into the camera and tell me it's going to be okay. You know
Wait,
what I mean?
He wasn't your hear me out, right? I'm not confusing you with somebody else.
No, he wasn't my hear me out. But I do fucking, like, he is just someone who I think is like a real hardcore journalist. I think he really gets to the meat of the story. I think he's not like, when people say, oh, mainstream media, they're not talking about Scott Pelley. So I just think it would be a shame if we lost him from our landscape.
Yeah, and I would say that Don Lemon is... I enjoy Don Lemon more now that he's been freed.
I mean, I agree. I still like he did say problematic things.
He did
like,
say some problematic
things. He wasn't on CNN anymore.
But he's doing good stuff now. He's doing good work. Anyway,
his Man on the Street shit is so good.
Yes, his Man on the Street stuff is good. I don't know if that's Scott Pelley's path forward, but I'm sure he'll figure something out and it'll be great. And we'll be tuning in because
yes, we will. Scott Pelley forever.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, the America 250th celebration is going great.
Hysteria is brought to you by Quince. Summer always makes me rethink what I'm reaching for every day. Lighter fabrics, better materials, pieces that just feel good the moment you put them on and look effortless. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on high-quality essentials, think breathable linen, soft organic cotton, washable silk, but without the luxury markup. It's that rare balance where everything feels elevated but still easy. Quince has beautiful everyday pieces like 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops with styles starting at $32. Their denim is soft and easy to wear, and their organic cotton sweaters are perfect for layering on cool summer nights. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're paying for quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has really become a destination for elevated essentials across the home, kitchen, bedding, and beyond, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. You know what I did, Erin? I got the Quince Italian Sling in suede. It's like a very fashionable fanny pack.
Okay.
Took it all through Italy. It was perfect. Fit everything I needed. Fit my passport. Fit my Imodium and my Pepto. Fit everything I needed.
That's great. You know, the thing I love about Quince is that in a world where fashion seems at every turn to be getting worse and more expensive at the same time, Quince is a place where I'm like, I just want something that is high quality, that looks good, that is a staple, and I can get it at Quince. And there's stuff, some stuff that's like a little bit more daring. But for the most part, it's like, it's the type of clothing where you get it and you're like, I can have this for like a decade.
And it washes up nicely.
It washes up really nicely. I've got a bunch of white tees from Quince because
we're getting
a little dingy. So, and they've gone through a couple washes and they're still looking good.
Gorge.
Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/hysteriapod for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/hysteriapod for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hysteriapod. Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. Summer is almost here. And Alyssa, how are your cats doing?
They're shedding, Erin. They're shedding everywhere. There's hair all over my house.
But there's more sun for them to like roll around in.
Listen, my fat boy, Mr. Butters, he gets up every morning, chases sunbeams like the little ding-dong that he is, loves the birds and the bunnies, happy as a pig in mud.
Oh, that's so great. Well, you want to keep those little guys, those little gremlins, those little goblins. You want to keep them healthy.
I want to keep their poops fresh.
Keep them healthy, happy. Keep your house healthy and happy at the same time. And Smalls fresh cat food makes it easy. Protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free 100% human-grade ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Smalls works because it's fresh, gently cooked food is made without preservatives. A balanced diet leads to less shedding, fewer hairballs, and more silky shine. More of the nutrients in Smalls cat food are digestible, so less junk comes out the other end. That means less stinky poops. Their cat food leads to high protein and improved hydration. That equals strong bones and toned muscles. Are your cats toned, Alyssa?
I have never owned a toned cat, okay? I own these chunky monsters. But you know the thing with Big Bert, a.k.a. Clementine, who's been with us for a year now? She is an exotic short hair, and she has more fur than any cat I've ever seen. And she gets dandruff, but not when she has her Smalls.
Ooh, that's great.
Takes care of her skin and her nasty little coat.
Oh, gosh, she's good. She would be so upset if she heard you talking about her like
that. I don't know. She's Big Bert. She just lumbers around stealing everybody else's Smalls. Forbes ranked Smalls the best overall cat food, and BuzzFeed says my cats went completely ballistic for the stuff. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported improvements in their cat's overall health. Are you spooked by commitment? You can try Smalls risk-free. They'll refund you if your cat won't eat their food. So stop serving your little carnivore a bowl of processed shortcuts. For a limited time, because you're a Hysteria listener, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. That's 60% off your first order plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/hysteria.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who can't believe we're already this far into the podcast and haven't mentioned the new season of Love Island once. How did you know? How did you know I hadn't mentioned it? Wow.
I have to be honest, I'm not a Love Island.
Oh, it's a vocation. It's not
okay.
It's not like content because it's like homework. Every day you're like, now I gotta go watch Love Island. Otherwise, everyone's gonna know what happened. And like finding out after the fact is not nearly as fun as
just. Do episodes drop like daily or all at once?
Every day except Wednesday, I think.
Oh, shit. Oh, that is kind of like.
It's like every day except one day a week. And they're all like, they're in the can and like pushed out the door.
That's a real battle rhythm you have to keep up with.
I mean, whoever edits that show has to be just a superhuman. And they have to really love editing. Because I would imagine that the team is just like, 24-hour schedule for 6 weeks of the year, and then I hope they go on vacation or go into some kind of, like, resting tube. But I started watching it last night, and then I was just like, this is too – there's too many colors, and I'm trying to get ready for bed.
Oh, wow.
And no, I mean, like, the there's – it's so bright. It's like – it is like
– Right, a, no, I get that.
It's like a pack of Skittles. Like, there's just so many candy colors everywhere, and I just am like – I'm trying
bopping all over your screen.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm trying to relax. So, yeah, I just watched a little bit, and I just – I don't want any spoilers. I just know that there's a lot of slow-mo walking. There's
okay.
people in bikinis. Everybody's hot. Everybody's young. Most people are kind of stupid.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's addicting. It's a cultural event, and now everybody's watching it. Now I'm I can't believe I did make it this far in without talking about it. Because I was also clinging to it as something to, like, something that's completely, like, a dissociative activity.
Yeah, I get that.
And there's so few things that I do that allow me to totally dissociate. Because even when I'm gardening, I'm, like, listening to podcasts. You know?
It's well, I stopped doing that. I made a mix. I made a music. I made a playlist. I made a mix.
You made it. You burned a CD.
I made a playlist. But my dissociating show now is the new Mindy Kaling, not suitable for work.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that one out.
It's not good.
Okay.
Like, not good, but kind of perfect.
Right.
Like, I just enjoyed it. It was on in the background. I did my dishes. It calmed me down. Not too many bright colors. You know what I mean? I was just like, I was like, okay, that wound me down.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, Widow's Bay is not a wind down show.
Widow's Bay is not a wind down show. Mindy's other show, Running Point, I really enjoy. And so I save that for when I'm like ready to watch a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, this new one, I'm like, oh, we're going to put this on in the background.
Interesting. Okay, well, let's talk about something that we're not going to be putting on in the background.
Aaron, Trump has been misstepping left and right and tripping all over himself, and it's hard to keep it all straight. So here we are to round up his latest gaffes.
Yeah, so starting with the slush fund, I don't know if we can call this a gaffe as much as an attempted just like naked robbery of
crimes.
America's coffers. It's just like
stealing.
It's just, it's the point in a game of Monopoly when you realize you've chosen the wrong banker. Because you're like, you're taking money from the bank. Like, we picked a dishonest banker.
It's like, there's actually a scene in like one of the last episodes of Succession where they see Shiv steal. And Will is just like, Shiv, I see you. And she's like, what? It's, we're married. I can take his. And she's like, no, that's not how it works. But this is how I feel. We're just watching Trump. He's just like taking Monopoly pieces. And we're like, we see you.
We see you. We see you doing that. So even Senate Republicans thought that that his slush fund, his anti-weaponization $1.776 billion slush fund was a bridge too far. It was part of a deal. Part of a settlement that Trump made with himself. He was suing the IRS for $10 billion. And instead of carrying that lawsuit forward, his Justice Department and the IRS agreed that Trump's family is immune from being prosecuted for tax crimes forever.
Forever.
And also, he gets like $1.8 billion to give to his friends at his own discretion. It looks like the slush fund is dead after Todd Blanche's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee earlier this week. However, we don't know that. Todd Blanche, just because Todd Blanche said something doesn't
mean he won't put it in writing.
Yeah.
When asked, he would not. He goes, what's the point of putting it in writing? I'm telling you. And they're like, right. So if you're telling
you're
us,
a lawyer,
why can't
Todd,
you put it in writing?
Todd, you're a lawyer. What is the point?
Donald Trump's former personal lawyer.
Yeah. Okay. What is the point of putting it in writing? Do you ever get in an argument with someone and they say something? I mean, this is when they say something so dumb that you repeat it back to them. You're like, oh, you didn't know how to blah, blah, blah. Like,
and they're like, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, you're Todd, you really, really
come on,
don't know the point
my
of
brother.
Putting things in writing. Please, please be so fucking for real. The fund still exists, technically. We don't know what the fund is. It's concepts of a fund, I guess.
It's outlines of a fund.
Outlines of a fund. Blanche won't put it in writing. It seems like we don't know if it's going to happen or not. But the heat was too hot. Todd Blanche was like, we're not doing it anymore. Hopefully people in the press stay.
Because I said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's sure. He also had some nice things to say about Ghislaine Maxwell. So I don't know how trustworthy his assessment is of things or if we should be.
Well, and like, let's be clear, too. The notion that the Trump family can never be investigated by the IRS still stands.
Yeah. I feel like that is
that may feel like that was the intention all along.
Yes, that may feel like it was the intention all along, but we will see. But, you know, one of the reasons that this slush fund was such a contentious topic and Trump couldn't just skate through with it is that he just made enemies of two sitting members of Congress when he backed their opponents in primaries that they lost.
What did he think was going to happen?
I don't know that he thinks too hard.
Fair.
I don't know that he thinks too hard. So John Cornyn and Bill Cassidy are now just, I mean, hopefully they're just, they've learned their lesson and they're like, there's no survival to be had by cozying up to him.
Let their freak flag fly from now until November. I mean, I just hope they're petty. I hope they're so petty.
I want John and Bill's excellent adventure. I want them to have a podcast together every week about how they are feeling bad about how they stood up for Trump and how they're trying to make amends for it now by making his life as difficult as possible.
I hope Bill Cassidy tries to impeach RFK Jr. because technically he lied to him in his confirmation hearing.
If you can start impeaching people for lying during confirmation hearings, then like half the Supreme Court is on the chopping block.
I mean, they would be, but this, like, he did gut the CDC.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
And he promised he wouldn't.
Wait, Alyssa, do we have an update on America's 250th birthday celebration? How are those plans going?
More expensive by the day, bigger disaster by the minute. The 4th of July, Aaron, it's a month away. We're a month away from the 4th of July, the day this episode comes out. But Trump's celebrations will be leading all the way up to the day, including in 2 weeks. Aaron, he's got his UFC event held on Flag Day, which is not America's birthday, but his birthday. Couple things about the event, then a little something about how much it's going to cost.
Okay.
There are 4,000 seats available. They have already started building the UFC cage match, which, by the way, even Joe Rogan is repelled by. He's like, you shouldn't fight outside. This is bad.
Yeah, let's look at a picture. That shit's so ugly.
Look at that.
Oh my God. It looks like a roller coaster in a county fair.
Okay, so people are comparing. There is drone footage over the entire campus of the White House, and people keep saying it looks like a county fair with dueling live acts, one of which is like the band Warrant.
Yeah, it's a cover band. It's a Warrant cover band.
Right, right, because Warrant wouldn't actually come like all the other bands.
Mm-hmm.
There are 4,000 seats available. Sponsorship packages, including ringside tickets, are going for like $1 million. The Pentagon's trying to recruit troops to attend the fights, but they reportedly are being asked to buy their own tickets. They must meet current waist height ratio and current physical fitness standard, aka Aaron, no fatties here.
Hot guys only. This is the least gay thing that's ever happened.
Hot guys only.
No, honestly, this is the gayest thing that's ever happened at the White House, including President James Buchanan writing love letters to his former male roommate. I cannot believe how corny this shit is. I cannot believe that anybody thinks this shit's cool. It looks so bad. I'm not offended. I'm just kind of like, you people, how are you such dorks? It's so dorky.
I'm a little offended.
You're a little offended because you have a personal, like,
this
for me,
event,
it's so silly. It looks like a South Park episode.
It is a South Park episode. A South Park episode that's going to cost $60 million, of which, Aaron, $700,000 is to repair the White House lawn. Who do you think, what money do you think is going to be used? Where do you think that $700,000 is coming from?
Us?
Taxpayers.
How does the lawn cost? Okay, I'm sorry. $700,000. That's like how much a pool costs. Like to install an in-ground pool, like a regular size in-ground pool in a yard that isn't like,
Are you high? $700,000 for a pool?
Isn't that how much it costs? I don't know. I've never installed.
No.
How much does a swimming pool cost to install?
I mean, like, I think if you got, like, depending on, like, I think if it's just the pool and not the landscaping, I think a pool would be more like 50.
Really? Okay, yeah. So I don't know what I'm talking about. But the reason I said $700,000 is because the city of Los Angeles is like refurbishing the swimming pool, and it's going to cost like $1.25 million. And people were like, that's too much money. And
so it is too much money, but I bet that has a lot to do with like the landscaping, safety requirements, like all that kind of stuff.
But okay, so regardless, that is several pools. Why is that how much it costs to fix the lawn? That seems like a grift to me. Are they awarding the contract to like Eric's landscaping company? Does Barron have like a grass seed emporium? Like, what's going on here?
Look, and it's also, I don't think the first time they've ruined the lawn. I think they did it in the first term too. It is expensive to like, I think they have to reseed. My guess is that they will do like sod and not just grass seed.
Right.
Because if not, it'll just look ripped up and jankety for a very long time. But also there are like so many different associations. There's like the Department of Interior. There's the District of Columbia, the Metropolitan, like all of these different groups, the National Park Service that all have sort of jurisdiction over the lawn. Mm-hmm. All that said, it could have been done someplace else. He could have done it at the Verizon Center. He didn't. This was a choice, Aaron. In the year of our Lord 2026, when, I would just like to say, the Gallup poll has Trump's approval rating at 37%. One in three Americans feels they're falling financially behind. And he's like, the answer to my question, answer to that question is I'm going to rip up the lawn for no good reason for $700,000. Do you know that when America was suffering back in 2009, when Barack Obama became president, he didn't even redo George Bush's Oval for 2 years because he's like, that's just not right. Americans are suffering. I don't need a new office.
Oh, God. Yeah, that it's just ruining the lawn is like the least bad thing he's done.
But it's just he fucking hates people.
He's trash. He is trashy. Anyway, like there also was supposed to be a Great American State Fair concert scheduled for June 25th. And when it was first rolled out, there were people on the list that I was like, what? Morris Day and the Time? Martina McBride? Like Martina McBride, I understand, would have like, she has a big fan base across the country. People, you know, Democrats and Republicans like country music, but I would say that they tend to be Republican. Anyway, regardless, all of this list came out and I guess all of the artists had felt misled by the nature of the event. Because
there are two events. That's why, Aaron.
Mm.
So there was one, I think that's being convened by Congress, which was like a celebration of America. That is what they led them to believe, I think, that they were performing at.
Oh, that's so shady. What did they think would happen?
Because at first I was like, oh, come on. They asked you, like, you had to know where you were performing. Some people had no recollection of being talked to about any event. But some people thought they were performing at the nonpartisan other event.
Okay. So then each of these performers at the Great American State Fair started dropping like flies. Eventually, I think Vanilla Ice.
They couldn't get press releases out fast enough.
Yeah. Eventually, Milli Vanilli. I almost called them Willy Vanilli. Milli Vanilli and Vanilla Ice were the only two left. And I don't know if they held on.
Milli Vanilli was like, don't you know we don't sing?
Oh, right. That's right. Well, eventually Vanilla Ice was the only one
left. Yes.
Yes. And so I don't know if people really want to celebrate America with a Vanilla Ice concert, but it might be appropriate because Vanilla Ice famously did a terrible job stealing a genre that was invented by Black people. So stealing from Black people and taking credit for it, pretty American.
It is. And his song is on the repeat down at Mar-a-Lago. They love to sing Ice, Ice Baby.
You know, did you ever see that footage of him defending the sample used in Ice, Ice Baby?
Yes.
Saying it's not from Under Pressure because there's an additional. It's so ridiculous. He's like, so no. Under Pressure goes dun, 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 dun. And in Ice, Ice Baby, it's dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
It's like,
one beat, bro.
That's not, whatever. Anyway, so that concert is not going to happen, and Trump has now kind of flounced and said it's going to be a MAGA rally instead, which, why would you want to go to D.C. in the summer to watch a guy talk who talks on television literally every day?
Never, ever. Never, ever. But there is one last little cute kicker to this. Now there's another 250th celebration scheduled. The Power to the People concert, which is going to be a month before the midterms at the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Maryland, featuring Bruce Springsteen, Joan Baez, Foo Fighters, Public Enemy, Cypress Hill, Dropkick Murphys, Brittany Howard, and many, many others.
Oh God, the Dropkick Murphys. I love the Dropkick Murphys. When I went through my power punk phase, my punk phase in high school, not that I was a punk, I just liked punk music.
Yeah.
I love the Dropkick Murphys. I had like a couple of their CDs and then kind of just like would only play them on St. Patrick's Day until Scott Walker, the former governor of Wisconsin, came out somehow publicly announcing that he was a big Dropkick Murphys fan. And from their official Twitter account, they were like, "We literally hate you." And I was
amazing.
Okay, well, now I'm going to play the Dropkick Murphys more because that's awesome. They're great. I can't believe they're still like rocking as hard as they are.
Yeah.
They're so good. Okay, also another thing that gives away my age, I thought Meriwether Post Pavilion was just a nonsense name that Animal Collective gave that one album. I didn't know it was a real place. I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's not just an Animal Collective album?
Seen many a show at Meriwether Post Pavilion.
That's so funny. I heard songs from Meriwether Post Pavilion were played at an Animal Collective concert I attended when I accidentally took ecstasy and realized at the very beginning of their set that I had taken ecstasy and not Adderall.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. I was like, wow, I'm feeling really relaxed. Wow, these colors are crazy. Wow, this music's really making me, really doing it for me. And I was like, oh, I'm on
ecstasy.
You're
like, wrong thing.
I'm on
ecstasy. You're like, gonna ride the wave.
Okay, here we are. Anyway, that's another story for another time. So this concert that's happening in October obviously was inspired by this debacle of a concert.
Yes.
And now is in favor of the other side. That's
it's
fun.
Just in favor of America.
America,
favor of people,
democracy.
Anyone's invited.
Et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Alyssa's interview with one of her favorite stars from The Pit. Hysteria is brought to you by Nutrafol. You know that feeling when your hairline starts filling in or when you head out the door and realize you didn't even do that last mirror check to make sure everything's sitting right? Those small moments start to add up, and before you know it, you're just feeling like yourself again. Nutrafol supports hair health from within, helping you grow stronger, visibly thicker hair so those that feeling when moments happen more and more often. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport, and clinically tested.
It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women tailored to different life stages, like postpartum or menopause, and lifestyle factors such as plant-based diet, so you get support that's actually right for you. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks like a free Headspace membership to support your hair health journey. Let your hair become one less thing taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol's offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code HYSTERIA10. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Hysteria10.
Hysteria is brought to you by IndiCloud. I don't know if it's the heat, the economy, or the news cycle, but everybody feels one minor inconvenience from crashing out lately.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah, that's true, which is exactly why more people are becoming a lot more intentional about how they decompress. That's where IndiCloud fits in. IndiCloud is a fully legal online cannabis dispensary for gummies, exotic flower, premium pre-rolls, zero sugar THC sodas, energy gummies, and extra strength sleep gummies. Everything is federally legal hemp THC, lab tested, and shipped discreetly to your door.
Because staying informed is important, but feeling emotionally overheated 24/7, that part is optional. Lately, it feels like there's constantly something happening. Another headline, another update, another thing demanding your emotional reaction immediately. And at some point, I realized I didn't actually need more information. I needed more space from it. One IndiCloud soda later, the volume finally comes down a little. Still aware, still present, just not carrying the entire internet around in my nervous system anymore. and at night, the extra strength sleep gummies help quiet the mental replay loop that somehow always starts the second your head hits the pillow. This is true.
I took one last night.
I brought some with me on vacation because I wanted to make sure I had a nice sleep, and I did.
Mm-hmm. Energy gummies for surviving overloaded summer schedules. THC sodas for staying social without overheating yourself. Extra strength sleep gummies for fully shutting your brain down at night. And flower for slowing the evening down intentionally. The world might stay overheated. Your nervous system doesn't have to. If you're 21 or older, go to IndiCloud.co. That's .co, not .com. And use code HYSTERIA for 30% off your first subscription order. That's IndiCloud.co, code HYSTERIA for 30% off. Shipped routinely and discreetly to your door, plus free gifts on qualifying orders. And don't forget to fill out the quick survey when you order to support the show. Enjoy responsibly, and huge thanks to IndiCloud for helping everybody slow the noise down a little this summer.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast for people who know we will one day see baby Jane Doe as the charge nurse in the pit. On Hysteria today, we have an opera singer, actress, and our favorite new doctor on the pit who just cannot get AI to work. Welcome, Sapita Moafi.
That's true for the actor and...
Oh my God. Sapita, I cannot tell you how excited I am to have you on the show. First of all, I love shows that are like just about excellence, and there are so few, and The Pit really is. But like when they introduced your character, I was like, oh no, is she going to upend it? Is she going to prove that everybody's not excellent? But then I'm like, no, she's just excellent too.
It's true. It is. What do they call it? Competency porn?
Yes, it's competency porn.
Exactly. And she is, I mean, she's beyond excellent. She's such a perfectionist. She's a terrifyingly high achieving. She's meticulous. She is rigorous. She is devoted. She's compassionate. She's passionate. She's all the things. I love
my favorite thing, though, by the end of the season were the memes on social media where it's like, look what happens at the end of the day shift. And you are just like broken after you've had your fight. I mean, it looks like you've survived some shit. You know what I mean?
It's true. My hair is like all over the place. And
It was as if they took extensions out. They're like, this is what happened.
Totally. I know. I forgot what I looked like in the first episode. I was like, wow.
You've got circles. They have removed all makeup. Yeah. You are just hanging on. And the reason it is so funny is that if you did before and afters of all of us at the beginning of a long day in the White House and what we looked like at the end, like we used to joke that if we were still there by 8 o'clock, all Spanx came off. Like you just went to the bathroom and you took your Spanx off and your socks off and you just had to like kind of free ball in your office.
I mean, literally throughout the season, it went from from the beginning, it really didn't take long. Usually hair and makeup in any given show or film will take like an hour and a half, maybe even more. For this show, it would take 20 minutes.
I'm sure.
And then at the end, it took like 3 minutes. It was literally like, no, you're good. I'm like, great.
They were like, do us a favor, wash your hair before bed and then don't do anything before you come.
Don't wash your hair anymore.
Exactly. Like, just go to bed wet head and see how it turns out.
Let's see what happens. It looks like a chia pet.
So listen, so many of the listeners on the show and fans know you as Dr. Al Hashimi.
Yeah.
But you've had an extremely interesting and rich life before ever becoming part of the Pit crew. And I would really like to go back to sort of your origin story because I think it is so important. So, yeah. Sapita, your family actually emigrated to the U.S. in the early 80s, right? I think it's the early 80s from Iran.
It was actually they stayed on after the Iranian Revolution in 1979, where the Shah was overthrown.
Right.
And Khomeini came into power as sort of a temporary democratic leader. Obviously, that was a lie, and it became brutal dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
My parents stayed in Iran in the years following the Iranian Revolution, where the Islamic Republic had cemented itself at that point. And they were very politically active. All political activity was done underground. And it got to the point where they were hiding, and like many families, refugee families, they were forced to flee. Mm-hmm. So they first went to Turkey and were there for about 6 months, and then to Germany. And that's where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So it was by the mid-80s that I was born in 85. And then when I was under a year old, we came to the United States. My mother's sisters were already in the U.S. They came years before the revolution. Mm-hmm. And so while we did have some family here, it was starting everything new. I mean, my parents didn't really speak English. They didn't have work. They didn't have, you know, they rebuilt their lives from the ground up, like many refugee families.
Do you still have family in Iran?
I do.
Are they safe?
Yes. There are some family members that we've been able to contact, but as I'm sure you know, it's been over 3 months of a full internet blackout.
Right.
And so we haven't been in touch with some family members and friends. And the friends and family that we have been able to contact, they're fortunately they're safe.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
What are your earliest memories of being in the U.S.? Did you feel like you fit in?
No.
Hmm.
No. And there was such a contrast, a stark contrast between my life at home, where I didn't sort of wake up to the trauma that my parents carried until much later in life. But at home, it was all love.
Mm-hmm.
It was all everything we had. We were working class. We were not well off by any means, but it never felt like we lacked anything. It was only when I went to school that it felt like I didn't have things, you know, mm-hmm. because friends were able to do extracurricular activities or were given lots of toys. And it was always like I wanted certain toys or books or, to take part in different activities like art and music and sports, and we couldn't afford any of that. So that's when the othering kind of started.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually, bullied pretty incessantly and relentlessly throughout school. And I later on realized that, you know, there were a number of reasons. It was because we were different. We looked different. I brought funny lunches to school.
Right.
For the talent show, I was doing Persian dance, and I didn't know that it was weird until everybody's like, what are you doing? But it was also because I didn't know at the time that I had ADHD.
Right.
And so I had problems with focus, and already I didn't feel like I fit in at school. So that only, you know, these issues kind of compounded. But it wasn't until I found music and art that things changed.
Well, and that's – music is interesting because – you were born in Germany, so your whole family must have spoken Farsi.
Yeah.
But did you speak Farsi, or what was your first language? Was it English or Farsi?
Yeah. Farsi was the first language I learned, and I didn't learn English until going to school. So I was preschool was 3-4 years old or something. And so at 5, I still had a thick Persian accent when I was going to school. And then at some point, you know, it turns if your first language is your mother tongue. And then at some point that changes and you can't. And then I remember there being a period of feeling like even though I was studying and learning English, I felt like I had no tongue. You know, I felt at home, and the language that I could fully express myself was Persian. And then that started to slip away, even though I still do speak Farsi or Persian. But there's this weird limbo period where you're finding your new language,
mm-hmm.
and sort of hanging on to your the mother tongue. And so, it was a strange, and still to this day, I feel English is obviously my first language now. And yet when I hear Farsi or speak Farsi, it touches on different emotional registers that I can't access in English.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you started singing, mm-hmm. was that sort of like your safe space?
Totally. Even though I did have a pretty abusive first teacher and mentor.
Oh my God.
Compare him to the teacher Whiplash.
My first music teacher, I loved to sing. Do you know what he said to me?
What?
He told me it was perfectly fine and he would pass me if I would just lip sync. I know. We won't say his name, but he killed my joy.
Are you still singing?
No, I'm tone deaf. It's fine. He was not wrong. He just killed my joy.
You got to get that joy back.
I have joy in my Subaru. You know what I mean? Just me.
Your music is
me and the Indigo Girls. We're good. We're good. It's just a, it's a solo thing.
Yeah, it's so sad to hear stories like that. It's just, it's so unfortunate. But there is something about that, you know, previous generations where they've been trained with this sort of like very tough, cutting, you know, survival of the fittest mentality.
Right.
And that's certainly how my teacher was. And he'd make fun of my vibrato and call me out in front of the class. I had a solo, and on the night of the solo, he gave it to my best friend.
You know? No!
Horrible. He humiliated me in front of
that's an orchestra dark.
To the point where like the harpist went to the principal of the school and was like, this is abuse. And my parents came in and he charmed them and was like, you know, it's because she has it. She can do whatever she wants with her life, yada, yada. His excuse was that he believed in me. And it did, it does create tough, you know, thick skin. But it wasn't until much later that I realized I don't need that kind of abuse or harsh criticism from the outside or inside in order to get better.
I'm tough enough on myself.
Totally, totally. And so it's learning how to just relax in every way that it's, you don't have to be cruel towards yourself to improve. You don't need to be cruel to anyone in order to get them to improve. And it's definitely informed my teaching and mentorship style. It's like everything that he did, I don't want to do, you know?
Right. No, that is, I felt like much the same. Like there were my formative jobs out of college were not political. I couldn't get a job doing anything I wanted. And so I was a real estate paralegal for a while in the World Trade Center. And I will tell you, that whipped me into shape. I never really needed to be whipped into shape, but it also told me that like just verbally abusing someone doesn't actually make them better at their job. It just makes them scared to admit if they've made a mistake.
Totally.
Like that's kind of where it comes down. Wait, and then, so music for you. Yeah. And then you actually became a music teacher before you started acting.
Yeah, I was, you know, I've been working since I was like, this is probably illegal, but I was babysitting when I was like 9 or 10 years old.
Girl, same.
And then when I was 13, I started working in restaurants, and I worked in restaurants from 13 to 22. So during undergrad conservatory, I was working in restaurants on the weekends, which is crazy because that conservatory schedule is, I mean, I could never do that now, but somehow when you're in your teens and 20s, you're just, you energy is not, a, it's just
right now
unlimited reserves.
Yeah.
But after that, I was trying to find ways out of the restaurant life. I have so much respect for the hospitality industry. It was just really hard to maintain, obviously, the voice lessons and the performing with that schedule. And so I was trying to find alternatives, and I taught, I taught music. I taught voice lessons for a while, and I taught fitness for a while later on. That was when I went to grad school, and I was like, I'm not going back to restaurants. You know, whatever happens.
Wait, when I grad what kind school. Of fitness?
Do you know what Pure Bar is?
Of course I do.
Yeah. So I was.
Okay. See, I am just old enough. I'm like 10 years older than you. When you said that, my immediate thing was like, did she teach step? Did she teach step at Crunch in New York City? That was my immediate first step. I'm like around the world with Sabina.
No, I am a true millennial. I'm obsessed with bar classes. And then I was like, okay, it doesn't pay that much, but at least it's not restaurants when I'm auditioning and sort of throwing myself into the New York industry, or both industries, theater and film and TV. And it was just about getting a job and following the work. And so I taught fitness. And even when I started supporting myself as an actor, I still I love it. I love teaching. That's such a, I mean, it's not just what it does in terms of like giving back to and sharing what you have and what you know with other people. It's the best way to sort of teach yourself what you know or remind yourself of what you
it are. Is, you know, like working in a group setting. I had always worked in a group setting. And like when I left the White House, it was the first time I was alone. Mm-hmm. And I actually suffered real depression. You know, I really didn't understand how to do anything without feedback.
Yeah.
You know, and then the first thing I decided to do was write a book. And it was the worst fucking decision of my life because it was just me alone with my thoughts.
Totally.
You know, it was like, and thinking that I had like peaked way too soon. I was like, should I call this like the epilogue of Danny Bonaducci? Like, is this what my story is? But like, so for me, like, and all the gang on the podcast and everything, it's like, even though I'm alone in New York, it's still just like, I need feedback. You know, I am better with feedback.
I'm the same.
Okay, so now we've come to the part where you have to tell us how you came to be Dr. Baran al-Hashimi in the pit.
Where do I start?
Did I say Baran right? I never know if Noah Wyle said it right or if he was like being sus.
He's butchering the name, bless his heart. Most people butcher the name, but that's okay. I grew up having my name butchered, so it makes sense. People would say Dr. Al on the show, and that doesn't make any sense for, you know, because Dr. Al is basically like saying Dr. al-Hashimi means of the Hashemites.
Right.
And so that's like saying Dr. The or Dr. Of, but it's such a real immigrant refugee experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Having your name just sort of bent out of shape by everyone else. So no, it's Baran, but which means rain.
Baran. Okay.
Yes, which means rain in Persian. How did this come to be? I have always had strong negative reactions to medical shows just because I don't want to live inside a hospital more than I've had to and have to. And while I appreciate the genre, it's just never been something that I've necessarily responded to or wanted to be involved with. But when I saw The Pit, I was blown away.
Yeah.
And I was just so moved by the way that they're, you know, on the surface, it's a show about a hospital, but it's really about our healthcare workers and every patient that walks through those hospital doors and these societal issues, political issues. I mean, everything is sort of examined. And the hospital is the great equalizer, right? Doesn't matter if you're you know, a corporate exec or an unhoused patient, you're confronted with these existential questions. So I thought that the subject and the way these subjects were explored were really beautifully, intelligently, and artfully done. And I was moved. And then I was sent this character, this audition, and I binged the show in a day and a half. I had the flu, so I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. And I watched the show, and then I was like, it was one of those situations where the project and the role was so good that even if I didn't get it, I got so much from diving into the world and her mind and her heart that I was like, I could have been content just walking away. Because I also knew that because I was so passionate about it, I gave everything. I try to give everything, everything I do, even in auditions. But for this one, it was one of those roles where it just like it came into alignment and it really resonated. So I did a few or a couple of callbacks and finally I got the job and then had barely any time to prepare, but continued the preparation process through boot camp, through filming.
Talk about boot camp.
Boot camp is surreal. I kind of ignorantly, have you heard of the Hoffman Institute?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did Hoffman right before. I had already planned on going to Hoffman before I found out that I got The Pit. So I did Hoffman, went offline for 8 days, and then came back online, nearly had a panic attack from all the emails and everything that I dealt with. And then I drove to LA the next day and then started boot camp the following day. So I went into Hoffman in this like very open, mushy, spiritually alive and, you know, present and place. And I was like, you know, they hired me to be an actor playing a doctor, not to be a doctor. And that was my mantra to make myself feel better about knowing absolutely nothing about medicine. And we started the boot camp. I was like, this is great. And then like 10 minutes in, I was like, holy shit, how am I going to cramp? Because it's not like many of the actors who started last year and this year, they're residents or they're interns.
Right.
But starting at an attending level position is like, you got to, how am I going to pack in 15 years of school and experience, especially with her breadth of experience, her background? But that's why we have our tech advisors, you know, they're on set times and making sure we're doing okay. But boot camp is just about giving you the tent poles of knowledge that you'll sort of come back to throughout the season, and making sure that you have an awareness of some of the terminology and the procedures, so that when it's woven back in throughout the season, it doesn't completely surprise you. But we don't rehearse very much in general, but for the procedures, anytime we have a medical procedure, we take a good amount of time to rehearse.
Here's my question. In a pinch,
yeah.
Do you think you could intubate somebody?
Hell, are you kidding? No.
Really? Because half your audience does. We're all like, we got it. On a plane, someone needs us. We'll be like, listen, we watch the show.
No, I would probably.
Someone give me a pen.
No, I would feel confident about telling another medical professional what to do. But why would they need me to tell them what to do? I could take them step by step on how to intubate. I would not. That's crazy. No.
Actually, I just want to retract what I said. The pen would be for a tracheotomy, okay. Not for intubating someone.
The trachea. Oh yeah. My gosh.
See, I'm telling you, I'm dangerous with the amount of information I think I have.
I mean, that procedure is crazy. That's crazy. And bless Mel King, bless the people who created MRAP, this online database for emergency healthcare workers. That's basically, you can find anything on there. You can find videos of procedures. You'll find medical journals. You'll find interviews. I found this like guided meditation on how to do this procedure. And I listened to it 3 times a day for a couple weeks leading up to the day we shot that procedure.
Right.
So, that we are given so many invaluable resources throughout this process.
So there's one scene sort of in the beginning of your time where you tell Dr. Robbie to call you by your first name.
Ah, yes.
Right? But he continues to call you Dr. Al-Hashimi.
Yeah.
So up until you're revealing your epilepsy, is it epilepsy diagnosis or is it a seizure disorder?
It's, well, both.
Both,
it's
okay.
Temporal lobe epilepsy, yeah.
Can you talk about that scene?
Yeah. Where do I start? What do you want to know?
I mean, it is, to me, your relationship with Dr. Robbie, like you come on the show, you're an audience member. You're like, is she here to blow up my boyfriend's piece? Like, you know, you're like, what is she doing? And then like one episode in, you're like, oh my God, no, he doesn't know it, but he needs her. Yeah. And we need her and she needs to be here. And so like, you're kind of as a super fan, you're like rooting for everybody to come together. And so when he does not use your first name after you have told him to, and then as you're talking to him and being vulnerable and telling him, he does use it, but not to the end that I think we think. I feel like it's a misdirect. Like when he calls you by your first name, we think there is going to be some sort of like tender moment, and it's quite the opposite. And it was and the reason I'm just curious how you prepared for it, how you felt during it, because I mean, I from that point on, it was floodgates, tears for me from then to the end.
Yeah. You know, I think you might be the rare unicorn that joined Team Dr. Al-Hashimi earlier on, because I think most people, it took a while for them to warm up to her. I think people started embracing the character around the procedure in episode 10. But at the end, the prep for that. Okay, so in episode 1, throughout the audition process, I knew that this was potentially going to happen, that we were working with a doctor with an enormous amount of PTSD from her time, her humanitarian work, and working in places like Libya and Iraq and
Afghanistan.
Yeah. And that for me was a prayer answered, because I have so many friends who work in the field and they are such big fans of the pit. And I was just begging for that visibility, especially in this time of, you know, unprecedented humanitarian disasters.
Yeah.
And so there was that. And then on top of that, during the final phase of the audition process, the test, I found out when they added a scene about this condition. It was a scene between her and Dr. Robbie, very casual, just talking about it, her revealing her condition, but it wasn't dramatic at all. And so I had an idea that this is where her arc would go, but I wasn't sure. And so when I read the first episode of season two, it ended on the stair with the baby.
Right.
So I reached out to them and I said, I just want to make sure I'm interpreting this correctly. Is this because of her condition? And they confirmed. Mm-hmm. But nobody else knew.
And no, I 100% thought for the first six episodes that something catastrophic had happened in Afghanistan.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
what I assumed.
Well, and that's what beautiful storytelling, right?
Right.
Because it very well could have been. And that has to do with it too, right?
Right.
That is triggering these symptoms. But I knew that at some point this would be revealed. And so I knew how to hold back or how much to restrain myself emotionally. And she was already a pretty zipped up character. But in order to have a real payoff of revealing herself
right.
and that moving the needle in any way with their dynamic, I was trying to play against that as much as possible
yeah.
throughout the season. And then so at the end, it almost felt, I'm getting emotional thinking about it, it almost felt like I was in her five-year-old skin.
Yeah.
And it felt like that little girl who is ashamed
yeah.
and scared and exhausted. And because on the surface, her exterior identity is brilliant, unflinching,
right.
Precise. She has this like innovation driven, like a Promethean fire. And underneath that is this scared little girl in a hospital bed who is watching her mom sob uncontrollably,
right.
feeling cold hands of doctors, you know, poking at her and experimenting with her and being a huge source of pain and shame for her family throughout her life. And so that being able to reveal a little bit more of that was kind of almost cathartic in
mm-hmm.
a way
mm-hmm.
because I've been holding it in all season. And this whole idea of like revealing part of yourself in order to get close to someone, in order
right.
for someone to, because she's tried to reach him in so many ways as a fellow attending, as a doctor. She's taken the professional angle. She's been, you know, playful and flirty. She's
right.
been warm and complimentary, and nothing seems to penetrate.
Right.
Or it will for a moment and then quickly it bounces right off. And so I think this is also a final attempt at some kind of intimacy and some kind of connection with him because she respects him and for it to backfire in that way. It was devastating, but
it was devastating. Like as an audience member, you were just yeah. like, you were just sitting, you're like, Robbie, no, no.
I know.
No, what are you doing?
Totally. And it's his own trauma, right?
Not right.
excuses for him, he's projecting his own shit onto her, right? Because everything that he's telling her, he's also kind of telling himself. He
yeah.
needs to be reporting himself. He needs to go
right.
get help. And so he's just directing it all at her. But, you know, a lot of physicians live with chronic health conditions,
mm-hmm.
Including epilepsy, and they continue to practice safely and effectively. And it's the hospital's job, per the ADA, to create accommodations and
right.
protect healthcare workers. That's why it is a system of interdependence. That's why it's not about a savior. This story, you know, the pit is not about one savior,
mm-hmm.
the hospital. It's about a team of healthcare workers and sort of reshapes our this need for us of like the Supermans and the Batmans. And, you know, we don't
yeah.
need that. We need each other. And so that for her is incredibly disappointing because you live knowing that there's a stigma and that there is harsh judgment and discrimination. And she's just hoping that he will be on her team and say something like, I can't believe you've been living with this. I can't believe you're so good at your
right. Like, you're, like
you've done it, you know.
He went the hardest possible left that any of us could have
yeah.
envisioned.
Yeah.
Now, do we know yet if you'll be back in January?
So the plan, yeah, that's the plan, it seems. I don't
Great.
Know. I don't know what's happening though.
Okay, well, we will be staying tuned. But before we go, we have to talk about one more little thing because you've got some downtime. And with your downtime, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do Broadway.
Off-Broadway. It's
Off-Broadway. You can do Off-Broadway, which I have to tell you, I had tickets to see you at Minetta.
Uh-huh.
But I had to get my appendix out. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
My God.
But anyway, tell listeners, because I think you're—
your tickets. It's playing till June 8th.
It is. So that's what I wanted, so people can find you still. You're there. Minetta Lane Theater till June 8th. It's called Newborn.
It's been—
you're with Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, Mariana Gailis, directed by the iconic Ian Rickson. Incredible playwright, Ella Hickson, who is just— she's a revelation. She's an award-winning British playwright. It's her New York debut, I guess. And, you know, theater is my home. I started in opera and then went into theater, and I come alive in a different way.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it's immediate. It's vulnerable.
There's adrenaline.
There's nowhere to hide, especially with these pieces. There are essentially three one-people shows, one-person shows. And the thing I love about this show is under the direction, the guidance of Ian Rickson, there's this, you know, there's this time-old idea of entering a labyrinth and emerging change. And I think each of these characters goes through a very full journey through the maze of their own psyche, and they're exploring and going through this in real time with the audience. The audience is the other, like, is our scene partner, right? And they come out altered on the other side of it. And what I've been hearing back, I mean, our hope was that the audience does feel changed in some way after the show. And that's the feedback we've been getting across the board.
The reviews have been incredible. Yeah. The TikToks from people who have seen it, also incredible.
Okay.
So, Sipita, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We love you. You're the best.
Come back
again.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Okay, great.
So much more to talk about.
Hysteria is brought to you by HomeServe. You protect your health, your car, even your phone. But what about your home? It's probably your biggest investment, and when things go wrong, the cost can hit hard and fast. That's where HomeServe comes in. Regular homeowners insurance usually doesn't cover a lot of the day-to-day wear and tear. Plumbing failures, HVAC breakdowns, electrical issues, you're often on your own for those. That's where HomeServe comes in. It's like a subscription for your home. For as little as $4.99 a month, they've got your back. Repairs hit fast and hard. You could be searching for a contractor in a panic, or you could already be on the phone with HomeServe's 24/7 hotline scheduling a repair. It's super simple. Choose a plan for your needs and budget, and when something on your plan goes wrong, just call their 24/7 hotline to start the repair process. They've helped homeowners like you for over 20 years with a trusted national network of 2,600 local contractors. With nearly 4.5 million customers, a 4.8 out of 5 post-repair rating, and an A+ BBB rating, they're the real deal. Do you know what happened when I got to Italy, when I landed?
What?
I get a text message from my hubs. Something is wrong with the septic.
Oh,
true story.
Oh, no.
Sent me a picture of the alarm because I know the household stuff. So I'm in Italy talking to the septic pump people, the people who installed our water filtration system, and the plumbers. Just saying. I had three phone calls, texting nonstop, telling people where things are at, when you could just have HomeServe do it for you.
HomeServe is such a good idea if you've ever had to navigate the complicated square dance that is trying to get somebody to actually show up and fix things in your house, especially during the summer. Like,
oh, so
if
hard.
If your HVAC goes tits up, like, it's just such a headache or like your dishwasher doesn't work and you've got a bunch of people coming over, like your dryer isn't working or your washing machine isn't, like, it's just, it's a thing that for a lot of repair people, if you just contact them directly, there's like no urgency for them. They're like, oh yeah, I got time Saturday between 4 and 10 p.m. And you're like, oh, okay, well, now HomeServe is a great option for people who want to remove the friction in between the inevitability of something going wrong in your house and the peace of mind that comes with it being fixed by someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe. For 50% less your first year, go to homeserve.com/hysteria. That's homeserve.com/hysteria for 50% less savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that guarantees it is not sexting up to six women.
No, never have, never,
never
will.
Have, never will. And when we describe how many people we're sexting, it is not up to. We know how many. I know this is some shade. We really did mean to talk about this, the unfolding story around the Senate campaign in Maine. We literally ran out of time because we were having so much fun dunking on the America 250th celebration.
Yes.
But I'm sure there will be more to talk about.
That's why. There will be more.
There will be more to talk about.
Up to. And including.
America is up to 250 years old this year. Before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements. Hey, if you haven't heard yet, tickets for CrookedCon 2026 are on sale.
Whoa.
Now, expect potential presidential candidates, campaign strategists, pollsters, organizers, journalists, creators, and Crooked podcast hosts like me. And you know what? It's happening the weekend after the midterms.
That's a lot.
So it's either going to be a happy celebration or a enraged celebration. So we'll see. Or either way, there's going to be a lot of energy. There's going to be energy because by then we'll know. We'll know what happened.
Right.
CrookedCon comes just days after the midterms. We'll kick off on Thursday, November 5th with a Pod Save America live show. Then on the evening of Friday, November 6th, you can catch Strict Scrutiny live or Love It or Leave It live. And on Saturday, November 7th, join us for a full day of CrookedCon panels and meetups. Head to CrookedCon.com to get tickets and more details, including how to become a Friends of the Pod subscriber for a special discount. I can't wait to see you there. Now let's get to Sandy Petty. Alyssa, Sandy or Petty this week?
I'm Petty.
Okay.
Erin, it's soft serve season, okay?
Okay.
I'm tired of fancy shit. I went to go get myself a nice little twisted cone, and the chocolate ice cream had, like, flecks of chocolate in it. No. I want something that tastes like Carvel. I want smooth. I want Mr. Softy. There's, like, this whole thing in New York City right now over, like, all the new frozen yogurt places, like, all the new Froyo.
They're back on Froyo again? We've already lived through a Froyo pandemic.
And you know what? Please just give me my TCBY chocolate peanut butter twist. That's all I want. The old school stuff. All this stuff is just too fancy. It is being ruined, okay? A summer treat is being ruined by extreme poshness, and we really don't need it. Really don't need it.
Yeah.
I just don't. It bummed me out. I was like driving home. I got a facial on Sunday because the winter was rough on these cheeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, the new ice cream, the old ice cream place is open. My standby. And I go and get my cone. I'm like, what in the hell is this gritty shit? This is not what I want.
Yeah.
And so I can't wait. I'm going to the city tomorrow and I'm going to find a Mr. Softy and I'm going to get what I am sure is not real dairy,
will be perfect. Don't you have DQ up there?
No.
You don't have Dairy Queens?
In my town, there used to be a Dairy Queen and there used to be a Carvel and they've all been run out by the posher places.
Oh, no.
And I can't tell you, no one is more upset about it than my husband, who for many years we have celebrated his birthday with his beloved favorite, Fudgy the Whale. But no, now I have to drive, and I have.
Is Fudgy the Whale not a Cookie Puss?
No, Cookie Puss is different.
Oh, Cookie Puss.
Both Carvel.
Right. I'm just saying, like, Cookie Puss is an option. alternative to Fudgy the Whale.
That's true. But either way, you need a Carvel.
Uh-huh.
And so couple years ago for his birthday, I drove an hour to the local, to the nearest Carvel to get a Fudgy the Whale, which honestly was fine. I cut it into six pieces. We ate it for a year. But like,
I mean, a Dairy Queen ice cream cake, nothing compares.
If I could get one of those, I would get one of those. But this is like, it's just delicious. Mm-hmm. And this fancy posh stuff is just, it's a no.
Yeah.
It's a no. I want my regular stuff.
It's, and it also costs $9. You're like, I want to pay $2 for a cone that is so big that it starts melting before I can eat it.
Yes.
I have to like, it's like a race against time for me to eat
yes,
it.
Yes. And the cone, when you get to the bottom of your waffle cone, the cake cone, that it's like soggy by the time you get to the bottom.
Yes.
And then that's its own delicious treat.
Right. It has to be a little, it should be low quality. Like that's the,
yes.
That is the beauty of it. It should be low quality. When I was pregnant with my older daughter, all I wanted was a Dairy Queen Mr. Misty.
Delicious.
You know what? Mr. Misty Float, which is
yes.
like a slush, like pumped full of artificial colors and flavors. Just completely nothing natural about it except for the actual ice. Just complete, like a neon red. And then they put soft serve in it and you can like mix it up. And every bite you can have like, you can put a layer of the slush on the outside.
Ah,
and it's
delicious.
Just like, it's so, so good. But we don't have Dairy Queens where I live because we have Foster's Freeze instead. So I would have to, Foster's Freeze is good and I really like it. I'm not going to disparage it, but it's not what I was craving. And so when we went to the Midwest on a trip, I got a Misty Float like five times over the course of 2 days.
Perfection.
So I was like, I have to eat this here and now because otherwise I'm not going to be able to eat it. It's like when I also emailed the company Top the Tater or like the company that makes Top the Tater dip.
I don't even know what that is.
It is like a sour cream dip with chives mixed in.
And delicious.
It's chip dip, but people put it on potatoes, but I always put it on chips. But you cannot get it outside of the Midwest. And I literally emailed and I was so desperate for it. I was like, can I buy it and can you ship it to California? And they were like, no. So when my parents came to visit me, they flew with some. That's how serious it was.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Ugh. When you have a craving for something, if it's like so far off the mark, all I'm saying is, my friend Gina and I, we're going to go to Happy Clown this weekend because I know Happy Clown will have – it's a little further away, but –
Happy Clown?
It's called Happy Clown. Happy Clown ice cream.
Okay.
And I get a little kitty cup with vanilla and chocolate twist and hot fudge.
I love that.
It's delicious.
I love that for you. Okay. I've got a sanity corner.
Okay.
And this is a very basic one. I'm the last train to arrive to the station here, and I realize I'm just the most normie who ever normied. But I recently got a Costco membership.
Terrific.
After, like, I had one for a while, and then I just never had time to go to Costco, and then I just didn't. And the grocery store in my neighborhood that's closest that has the most stuff has gotten insanely, like, stupid expensive. Like, $7 for a box of crackers. It's like,
oh my God,
so stupid. And so I just was like, this cannot, I cannot. I'm not doing it anymore. Got a Costco membership. And it is a wonderland in there. I just love it. I love just like looking around and being like, what do they have? What's here now?
I have to say, we do not have a Costco membership because when we thought about getting one, it's like, we can't store things in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no room to go to Costco if you live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel similarly about going to the big ShopRite aisle to aisle.
Yeah. It's like you just walk around and you're like, oh, I didn't know like, this was.
What is this new flavor of Coke?
This is fun. They're having, you know, you can buy a whole like flat of these weird flavors of LaCroix, which I realized we have these friends who whenever we go over to their house, they have LaCroix, but it's always weird flavors. And we're like, why do they always have weird flavors? And it's because they get their LaCroix at Costco.
Oh.
Yeah.
I get that. I've seen some weird flavors at the old ShopRite.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, I really enjoy Costco now. And it's nice to not have to go shopping for essentials that frequently. But when you have them, you're just like, okay, well, we've got four jars of peaches now. What?
What's your favorite find that you have gotten at Costco that you were like, this fucking rocks?
My favorite Costco find, I think that their orange chicken – they're like in the frozen section is really, really good. And you can bake it. You don't have to fry it. And it's still like, it tastes really, it's good. It's like not, it's meaty. It's not
delicious.
It's not all like crispy.
It's not all
fried
bready
stuff. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's really good. I also like, let's see, what else do I really enjoy? other rotisserie chicken. You can just go get a rotisserie chicken.
I have read all about the rotisserie chicken and the hack and how you can make the rotisserie chicken salad in the bag and the whole thing.
It's so good. You can just, it's so cheap. You just grab one and you can honestly eat for like a few days off of it. It's great.
It's awesome.
It's great. I've also been into disaster prepping. That's part of the reason why I was like, what if we run out of food? And it's like, okay, now I have a bucket of rice that I got at Costco. So it's helping me calm down my anxiety and it's helping me explore my sense of wonder. So thank you, Costco.
I will tell you, when I lived in D.C., so this is going back, there was this big snowstorm coming that they were calling Snowmageddon. And my friend Anna Lamy and I went to Costco and we got a margarita bucket that we ate the whole weekend during Snowmageddon.
A margarita bucket?
Yeah, it was like it was like frozen margaritas in a bucket.
And you just like scooped it directly?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that for you.
I was
you.
Like, this is incredible.
That's great. I think it's really important. Like if we're going to have some kind of lockdown or shortage situation, you have to have something like that.
I have to text her, see if she remembers the margarita bucket.
Oh, my God. I wish that they had margarita bucket there. I haven't seen it. But I will report back, and then you will have to renew that Costco membership.
Yeah, because you let me know.
There's always room for a margarita bucket.
Well, yeah, now I got a bigger freezer.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. Listeners, audience, we love you so much. I got so many tips from people about making jewelry from my dead cat's tooth.
I mean, did you settle on one?
No, I'm still doing research because it's like a serious decision. But I'm still doing some research. I got so many great, like there's so many talented jewelry makers that people tip me off to. Even some people who do it themselves who are like, I have a jewelry business. Let me know, you know. So like,
I love that.
I'm still researching and making a decision, but I really appreciate how helpful everybody is. We love hearing from you. If you have any tips, insight, questions, topics you'd love to hear us talk about, hysteria@crooked.com is the email address. We'd also like to thank Sapita Mwafi for the great interview with Alyssa, and there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Claire Fogarty, Kendra James, Adrian Hill, Alyssa Mastromonaco, and me, Erin Ryan. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Sheng, Mia Kelman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.